all up, and we can go ahead and start. And the meeting will come to order. And the voting members today will be Mr. Creeley, Mr. Risley, Mr. Maston, Mr. Smith, Mr. Wood. Mr. Curry will not be here, and so Ms. Dillon will move up. And Mr. Joya said he was coming, but we haven't seen him. So we'll have Ms. Therese move up for that. So that will make nine voting members. And so the first item on the agenda is Mr. Dossie.
Chair. Good morning, Planning Commission members. Nice to see all your smiling faces today after getting just a little bit of snow. As I normally do, I like to update you on some of the activity that we're seeing, some of the activity that is occurring in the region. I am still planning on giving you kind of the year-end summary. We're working on some of those statistics. I think, Mr. Egbert, the one statistic that you were looking for in terms of the value of some of the improvements that the county takes on, we're still compiling a lot of that data. As you can imagine, it's kind of a laborious process. But we will have that for you. I plan on doing that for the first meeting in February. I should have everything by then. Like we normally do, and this should be, I think this got uploaded, Tracy, to Passageways. Try to update you on some of the activity in terms of single family and multifamily development, not only in the county, but in the region. As you can see, El Paso County, which we typically are, makes up about a third of what happens in terms of the residential building permits. With the city of Colorado Springs being two-thirds, give or take, and then a few being in the other smaller incorporated areas within El Paso County. As you can see with the city, they're still going strong in terms of the multifamily housing units. I don't think that's a surprise to probably anybody. If you drive around town, you can see a number of multifamily projects coming out of the ground. Almost, it seems like, on a daily basis, but certainly on a monthly basis. Looking at it from a number standpoint, the city of Colorado Springs had 214 single-family residential, residential building permits, both multifamily and single-family in December. El Paso County at 126. That's a pretty strong number. I mean, if you think about the number of units coming online in 1 month between the two jurisdictions, you're in excess of 330 units. That's a lot of units coming online in 1 month. As you all know, a lot of people are moving here. I can tell you, looking at applications for jobs that we've posted, predominantly we're getting a lot of out-of-town applicants applying for jobs. So it's still a very desired place to live. So I think this trend will continue. I also think that the trend of getting applicants from out of town will continue. I think we're very unique. I mean, you look across the country, our population, you know, obviously we continue to grow. The net year over year in Colorado is obviously a huge gain where other states are losing. It creates challenges, obviously, from a workload standpoint on our end as well as regional building, but it also ensures job security, which we all love. So it's an exciting time, and I think it will continue to occur. Year over year, if you look at the number of permits in 2017 versus 2016 for December in El Paso County, last year we had 51. This year, again, was 126. That is a big number, and that's all single family. We don't have any multifamily projects occurring in the county. So 126 single family residential permits issued in just the month of December. That is a very large number. That's a large number at any point, but especially having come out of the recession, I think it's even larger number. Uh, As I normally do, I'd like to update you on the activity that has occurred at the Board of County Commissioners. There were two towers that were both approved unanimously as consent items with you all. They were also approved as consent items with the Board of County Commissioners, that being the Woodman Hills Tower and the Falcon School Tower. The Special District Service Plan, which you all heard, I guess it'd be about a month and a half ago or so now, that has been continued. The applicant wasn't able to attend the hearing, even though initially they told us they were. That is going to be a regular item with the board. You all voted 5-2 on that in favor, so we will update you on that when that action does occur with the board. And then lastly, our latest of the Land Development Code amendments that we brought not only to you but to the Board of County Commissioners, that being the vehicle, the changes to the code regarding the vehicle storage, repair, parking, those types of things, were approved unanimously by you all, and were also approved unanimously by the Board of County Commissioners back in on the 9th. Any questions on any of that? Okay. Today we do not have any land use items on the consent calendar. All we have is item 2B, which is your minutes from the January 2nd meeting, and then you have your two regular items today. Are there any questions for me before I turn it back over?
Okay. Not seeing any.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Has everyone had an opportunity to see the minutes? Any changes? Anybody, any changes anybody wants to make? Hearing none, the minutes are approved as presented. And with that, we will go to our first item, which is the Rice Ranch, and go from there.
Could I get the computer, please? Nina Reese with Planning and Community Development for the Rice Ranch Rezone. This is file I-17-002. Our team consists of myself and Jeff Rice as our engineer. This is a request to rezone three parcels from A5 and M to the industrial heavy industrial zoning district to legalize several uses on site. So now we'll have Kenny go over the review criteria.
Hesitation. So the criteria for approval for the for rezone such as this one is that the application's in general conformance with the El Paso County planning documents, that the rezone's in compliance with all applicable statutory provisions, that the proposed land use or zone district is compatible with the existing and permitted land uses and zone districts in all directions, and that the site's suitable for the intended use, including those prescribed by the Land Development Code.
So now I'll have the applicant, Jandra of Rice Ranch, come forward for her presentation.
Have you had an opportunity, both of you, to sign in?
Sign in?
There's a register, so if you could sign in and state your name for the record, appreciate that.
I'm Shannon Conley, and part owner.
Right. I'm Jandra Cooley, and I'm part owner.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
I believe we provided a copy of this to you. I'm just going to go through some of the items that we compiled. Our Rice Ranch consists of approximately 42.2 acres, which we're applying to be rezoned from M zone and agricultural to an I-3 heavy industrial. The existing layout will not be changed other than to get in compliance with the current uses that are on site. Site currently has one home structure, one mother-in-law's quarters that's being used as storage buildings, one office structure, and an equipment yard being used for mechanic and maintenance of heavy equipment. The utilities for the property consist of two water wells, a septic system, and the electric is provided by the City of Fountain, and gas is provided by Black Hills Energy. We're required to secure fire protection for our area, and we were parcels were accepted to be covered by the Security Fire District. Protection filed and recorded with the District Court on October 16, 2017, with a memorandum of understanding with the El Paso County Sheriff's Office and Operation of Emergency Management regarding the services to these parcels that are in place. And I've attached that document on the next slide. Have the parcel information's listed. There's the parcels, there's two of them combined into one parcel, but I have two of the parcels listed. Those are the parcel numbers up above of the three. I've attached the rezone map of what's being rezoned. Will be a basic site plan, and I know this, you know, will change, and you'll make recommendations as to what needs done for the site plan, but this is a general site plan that was done by the second parcel. Rice Ranch LLC is requesting to change our parcel use from an M zone and A5 agricultural to an I3 industrial zone. This request is being made to bring Rice Ranch in compliance with the current uses on the property. A rezone to the I3 heavy industrial zone allow for outside storage and heavy equipment storage uses that are already on site. This is unlikely to develop as a residential or agricultural due to being located in a high industrial area and also within the floodplain. It is not intended, I just lost my. Is not intended at this time to change the boundaries into the wetland areas, only to provide a safe environment and adjustments as necessary to facilitate and maintain these areas. So we're very conscious of the wetland areas that are there and have no intention of expanding into those areas at all. The small area plans do not apply. The application is, however, in general conformance with the El Paso County Policy Plan Chapter 1.B Section 7.0 Special and Unique Land Uses. 7.1 reasonably accommodates unique and special uses which provide value to the greater community and which can be made consistent with the surrounding areas. The value to the greater community is that the industrial uses supply employment to area residents and generate revenue into the local community. We have a construction company there that's instrumental in development of local subdivisions and businesses in El Paso County. The soil storage supplies jobs to local retail, truckers, and operators. The wildlife habitats that are to remain undisturbed are utilized by the El Paso County Park System via outlook areas over the rice ponds. This area provides community recreation and nature wildlife education. The 7.5 acres that originally was part of our property was donated It's the parcel number listed there to the west of the request. A rezone area was donated by Rice Ranch by our grandparents, Willard and Marie Rice, in 1982 to the El Paso County Open Space Plan. So we're really proud of that. With some of the parcels that are in our area and the surrounding areas, there is 30.82 acres next to us that is zoned I-3 already. Most of the other areas are already zoned for small office and warehouses. All the ones to the east side of us, so we either have I-3 or we have the office and warehouse district. The next is to the northeast side of our area, and all of those are also zoned for small office and warehouse districts. Most of those are owned by, are in the city of Fountain. Next ones are, one of them is in the city of Fountain and owned by the Whiteville Water and Sanitation. The parcel that is zoned in El Paso County is zoned CC, which is owned by Vertical Bridge Towers. The next parcel is zoned in El Paso County, and that one is zoned A5 Agricultural and is owned by Whitefield Water and Sanitation. And the next one is the parcel number list, and that was the 5.4 acres that was zoned in El Paso County and is zoned for open space with the park system. This is the one that was donated by our grandparents. Attachment of where that was donated. This is our notes as far as meeting our criteria. As noted in the parcel information above, we meet the existing and permitted land uses and zone district criteria. This site is suitable for the intended use, and we can meet the standards defined in Chapter 5 of the Land Development Code for the intended zone district. We can meet the 40 acres required for I-3 zoning, as noted in Table 5.5, density and dimensional standards for commercial and industrial and obsolete district, due to the acreage of similar uses noted in the above adjacent parcels. There is 54.8 acres in the City of Fountain parcels listed as small office and warehouse district and 30.82 in the I-3 zoning for El Paso County. These acreages, along with the proposed 42.2 acres, exceeds the 40-acre requirement for the I-3 industrial zoning. We would like to effectively plan for special and unique land uses as noted in the Paso County Policy Plan, Section 7.0. Special and unique land uses in policy 7.11, which notes accommodate unique combinations of land uses, such as employment and residential uses, based on that we do have a home located on that property. On the same property, it can be demonstrated that the aggregate impacts will be limited. Adequate facilities and services will be available, and the uses will be compatible with the character of the surrounding area. The home located on the said property at this time at 8150 Rice Lane is currently being used as a caretaker residence, and we propose to continue that in the future. The residence has adequate facilities as provided. We have well permits to support the house and the office structure that's there, and the septic systems to support both those. Impacts will be limited since the occupancy will be provided for the caretaker use and will allows for security and maintenance of our premises. The site currently has one home structure, one mother-in-law quarters, which we're currently using as a storage. We have some storage buildings. We have the one office structure. We have an equipment yard being used for mechanic and maintenance of heavy equipment. We have one road existing onto the property at this time. And As a note, most of the area around us is either industrial or small warehouse, but we are also close to the railroad. We're close to the highways, both 85, 87, and the into I-25, which allows for easy access in and out of those areas. That pretty much concludes. Oh, it just went off. Have really no waiver requests. We believe the landscaping, the existing landscaping coverage meets El Paso County codes. Access locations, we're not proposing to have any new access into the premise, and the wetlands areas are to remain unaffected. I believe that concludes our presentation. If anybody has any questions.
Any questions from the commissioners? I'm hearing none. It sounds like you did a very good job.
Well, I hope so. I've never done anything like this, so I'm really happy to have it over with, I'll tell you.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. You're going to be a pro.
Well, I know. That's what our other brother told me last night. He goes, well, maybe you and Shannon need to go into doing this for a living. And I said, that's quite all right. I'll stick with my current job, and then I will retire from that, and hopefully I won't be doing all this much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I should add, too, we do have our surveyor and engineer if there is any questions about the floodplain. I believe that is going to be relooked at. Make sure that it's possibly actually going to completely change the floodplain down there when that's reviewed. So we do have him here if there is any questions about the floodplain at this time.
Thank you.
Nina Reese again with Planning and Community Development. Just a reminder, this is a rezone from the A5 and M zoning districts to the I-3 zoning district. The existing uses on site include, as we categorize them in the Land Development Code, outside storage, contractor's equipment yard, heavy equipment rental, sales, and storage. And there is the accessory office and caretaker's quarters. As the applicant stated, they meet all of our dimensional standards for the I-3 zoning district. So if you look at the surrounding zones, these are the three parcels right here. So they're parcel M as well as the A-5. To the north is A-5 and CC. Over to the east is the City of Fountain Small Office and Warehouse, I-3, and then City of Fountain Regional Commercial District. And then if you look at the surrounding land uses, there's the Fountain Creek Regional Park and Trail that's located to the southeast, and then the Fountain Creek Trail meanders through the industrial development along I-25, so it does meander through the existing industrial development that's along the I-25 corridor. There's the railroad as well as several highways. The nearest residential development is 0.3 miles away, and there is also a wastewater treatment facility that's located just to the north. So this area of El Paso County is very industrial in nature, just like much of the I-25 corridor. Just to give you a little bit of background, the property was first zoned A2 in 1942. That zoning district has been renamed to the A5. And then the two smaller parcels were zoned to M in 1973. There's not a whole lot of history on the property until 2017, when a complaint was received by the City of Fountain for this parcel. Their concerns had to do with stormwater contamination. Our stormwater coordinator and code enforcement have both visited the property and verified that there is no violation in place for stormwater, but we did find that there was zoning violation on the property because of the many industrial uses on site within the A5 zoning district. It's important to note that all of the uses within the M zone are allowed uses, but the land development code does encourage rezoning out of the obsolete zoning districts to a current zoning district. So the applicants have chose to rezone that parcel as well. We held an early assistance meeting in May of 2017 to discuss legalizing the uses on site, and then an application was submitted in October. The property is not within a small area plan, but if we look at the overall county policy plan, there are several goals and policies that apply to this application. The existing highways and railroad do act as a boundary that defines the industrial development from the residential development nearby. The proposed zoning district is compatible with the existing uses and zoning districts in all directions. And then the last policy on there, 6.1.11, with the site development plan, will verify that they meet all of our requirements for landscaping, parking, signage. And then if improvements are necessary, we would require that with the site development plan. So with the site development plan, should the request be approved for the rezone, policy 6.1.11 would also be verified. So now Jeff Rice is going to give you an overview of engineering.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Risley.
Could I ask just one question?
Of course.
It may be in the staff report, and if it is, I apologize that I missed it, but I'm assuming the City of Fountain was referred this application, and I was just curious if there were any comments from Fountain with regard to the rezone.
So they responded and said that they have no comment whatsoever. So I think their complaint was just that they thought that there was a stormwater contamination, and because we were able to verify that there was no contamination or issue with the creek, they felt comfortable with moving forward with the rezone.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Morning, Planning Commission. Jeff Rice with Engineering. So as far as floodplain, this was mentioned by the applicant. Fountain Creek is adjacent to the county parcel that's to the west of the site. And the 100-year floodplain does currently overlay the site, but there's a mapping update in progress, which we have a slide that shows from the regional floodplain administrator that the, so this is the current floodplain, and this is what the, I guess, the preliminary mapping is for the revised floodplain, which shows that not being within the site where the area is being used for storage. So the regional floodplain administrator had no concerns with this.
Just a question for curiosity. Why is the floodplain being reduced? It sounds like it's a good thing, but somebody's doing something right?
Yeah, basically FEMA has been in the process of updating El Paso County's maps, and as part of that process, they've gone into some of the studied floodplains and re-verified hydrology and hydraulics, and of course in Fountain Creek there's been a lot of erosion and things like that, so that it's been remapped and the topography has changed. So I'm not sure exactly in this area if it was hydrology or topography or both, but there's different things that they're taking into account.
Okay.
So that's a lot of technical details on those mapping revisions, but like I said, it's a lot of the counties actually, they're revising the actual floodplains, and some of them they're actually taking what's been mapped already and just digitizing it, so it's going to be a digital map in the future.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. So when we get the site development plan, this is where most of these requirements are going to apply. We'll get a drainage letter report to address the peak flows and stormwater quality. There's no plat, and this is an unstudied basin, so there's no drainage fees applicable. And then a grading erosion control plan will be obtained with the site development plan, again, to make sure there's no stormwater issues and erosion going off site.
Are there any engineering questions?
I have one more. Transportation?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So the roads accessing the site are City of Fountain and CDOT. Willis Springs Road, also known as Rice Lane, is City of Fountain. CDOT, of course, is Highway 85 to the east of the site. We also will get a traffic study with any site development plan or future site development plans that come in, more for any concerns that CDOT or Fountain has regarding the roads and any improvements that need to be made. And the countywide road fee applies for any increased traffic above the uses that are there with the previous zoning. So in that traffic study, they'll address what is increased above any previous uses that are approved or allowed uses that were on the previous zoning. So, and we have those in the conditions of approval. Here's just a Google Earth map showing the site and Fountain Creek, Rice Lane. I think that's all I had. Oh, and I'll let Nina cover the conditions, but that's all for engineering if there's any questions.
Any questions pop up? Thank you.
Staff has recommended 5 conditions and 2 notations. I'm just going to go over those very quickly. So the first one is to require that a site development plan is completed. The next is that all future development is in compliance with the I-3 zoning district. Then Jeff had covered briefly the countywide road impact fee. So that's if their anticipated traffic is going to exceed 100 above and beyond what it currently is under the current zoning. And then the last condition is compliance with the City of Fountain and CDOT for the access off of Highway 85 and Willow Springs Road. We did receive some very late comments from CDOT. We actually didn't receive them until after we had scheduled this item for hearing. So staff is going to meet with CDOT at the end of this week to discuss their concerns, but we're confident that we'll be able to work out any issues with the site development plan because that's the more appropriate time to do that anyways. We did notify 6 adjacent property owners on December 27th of last year and also posted the property with a sign. This number has actually been updated since today, and we have received 3 letters in favor of the request and none in opposition. Prior to the Board of County Commissioners hearing, the item will also be posted in the newspaper as is required. So that concludes my staff presentation. Are there any questions?
Not hearing any.
Okay, thanks.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak in favor of this action? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak in opposition? Not hearing any. Does the applicant want to add any other comments? Or?
Address the
Please step up the microphone so we capture it on that.
I mean, I know it's going to be reviewed anyway, but I wanted to add that at this time we don't really plan on currently adding any usage to what's there. Basically, the storage of materials, a lot of it is Hypenex. It's basically right across the lane from us, and basically what happens there is that product is moved off of our site over to the Hypenex site. It's not, you know, that they come into our area and take it out onto the highway. And as far as the other business, which is Rice and Rice, you know, the usage isn't going to change there. So I just want to make that comment. I know it will be reviewed with the traffic study, but I just wanted to add that comment that that's how we're seeing, you know, the traffic is not going to really have an impact from what's currently going on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we're ready for a motion. Unless anybody has any comments or discussion. Mr. Risley.
Mr. Chair, As it regards regular item number 3I-17-002, map amendment rezone of the Rice Ranch property, I move for approval in accordance with the new standard resolution, page 27, with 5 conditions and 2 notations, with no need for a finding of water sufficiency, quantity, or quality.
Second.
Second from Ms. Therese. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Creeley.
Industrial land in the county is precious, and that this is heavy industrial makes it even more so. It's hard to find this stuff, and so that's number one in your favor, that you're bringing the zoning up to what it should be. Second is appreciate your grandparents donating land to the county for the open space, very much so. And I think this is, and the presentation that you have and the county presented makes this easy to get through. I mean, it was just easy to follow, and I'm very much in favor of it, and I'll vote for it.
Any other comments? Hearing none, we have a motion and a second on the floor, and this with regard to item 3, 1-17-002, map amendment for rezone for Rice Ranch, 5 conditions and 2 notations. Motion was for approval versus on page 27. So we'll go through the voting list. Mr. Creeley?
Aye.
Mr. Risley?
Aye.
Mr. Mastin?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Wood?
Aye.
Ms. Therese?
Aye.
Ms. Dillon?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. And the motion is unanimously approved, and good luck. Thank you very much. Before we go to the next item, would anyone like to take a break? Why don't we take a 5-minute break? All right, and then we'll be right back. When everyone is ready, we'll resume.
Yes.
On this item, Ms. Friedman will be a voting member. I miscounted before. So with that, can we go ahead with item 4?
Good morning, Commissioners, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
My name is Len Kendall. I'll be presenting variance file number VA-17-008, Schaefer Additional Dwelling. The team was myself, Len Kendall as planner, and Gilbert LaForce as the engineer. And Kenneth with the review criteria.
Thank you. Review criteria for a variance include, first and foremost, strict application would be an exceptional difficulty or undue hardship to the applicant. Whether the use is compatible or not detrimental with the surrounding neighborhood and area, whether the use meets air, water, odor, noise standards from county, state, and federal regulations, whether the use meets land development code, applicable county, state, and federal guidelines, whether the use will not adversely affect wildlife or wetlands, off-site impacts, whether those are addressed, whether the use provides adequate parking, traffic circulation, open space, fencing, screening, and landscaping, and finally whether sewer, water, stormwater, fire police protection, and roads are available for the use.
Thank you.
And the applicants are Dan and Mary Jo Schaefer, and they will be doing their presentation right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you speak your name into the microphone just for the record, Mr. Schaefer?
I'm Dan Schaefer. This is my wife, Mary Jo.
Hi there. Go ahead. Present your application. The process we follow, of course, is that you will present, the county has will come up after you and present other things. Then we'll open it up for anyone in the audience who wants to speak in favor. Okay. And anybody in the audience who wants to speak in opposition, you'll have a chance to rebut anything you would like to. And so that's, and then we'll proceed for a vote.
Okay.
And this is a not a final decision today because we are a preview body, I guess, to review the item and send it up to the county commissioners with our recommendation. So this is ours as a recommendation on this issue.
I understand. Thank you.
All right.
First, thank you for hearing our case today. First, I want to say Len did share the specific requirements you have to meet in order to get a variance, and we put together those our answers and the reasons why we feel we meet those requirements, and that document is the letter of intent, and that's available as a document on this proposal. My presentation covers most of it, but briefer. So this is a request for a second dwelling. Our property has two existing houses. One was built in 1996. The other was built about 1958. We bought the property in 2012. Our lot is on West Woodman, about halfway between Woodman Valley Church and the Mission of St. Francis. We're on the north side of Woodman. So we're in the county, but not in the city. My wife and I would like to rent one of the two existing houses, and that's why we're here. But this is not in concert with the current zoning, which is A5. This is not a request to build anything. We have Colorado Springs utilities, gas, electricity, water, and sewer. For both houses, so and also no additional driveway is needed. There's currently no one living in the home that was built in 1958, which is the home that's right down on Woodman. So we comply with the zoning requirements right now. Here's a photo of the home we want to rent. You can see down at the bottom that that's Woodman. And on the right-hand side of the photo, I'll just point out the driveway is adequate. You pull in first to the lower house, and then it goes uphill to the second house. Also, there's adequate parking beside the lower house. You can't see the home we live in. It's uphill about 500 feet, and the trees kind of block the view. The approval of this variance is meant to turn a current problem, that being two houses on one property, into an asset for the neighborhood. And by making the best use of the second home, which we feel is to let a family live in it. The home has a good location. We're close to the Air Force Academy. If somebody wanted to live in that home and work up there, the home is a rancher. It has easy access, one step up to get onto the whole first floor. Rock Rimmon is a large community. Right now, senior living is getting to be a really big issue. And the costs of senior living, this would be could be an option for somebody living in Rock Rimmon to have a parent living very close to them within blocks, but yet they're independent. And it would be a far lower cost than senior living facilities. We feel this is a very unique or peculiar situation. Both houses have existed for over two decades. Colorado Springs has provided utilities to both houses. In the recent years, they've pulled gas, separate gas and electricity lines all the way from Woodman up to the upper house. So in many ways, they're treated like two different houses. I get two different utilities bills, but still I can't have two families, one living in each house. If the variance is approved, there really aren't any good options. And I'll give you some detail on that. There's really three ways to go. One is the occupied home, and that's what we would like to do, is have somebody be able to rent that home. One is an unoccupied home, and then tear down, I'll talk about later. This slide really focuses on the unoccupied home. If the home is left vacant, we feel that would really invite vandalism and crime. I think that just goes along with having a structure that doesn't have anybody living in it. So the house could be used for storage or a guest house, but how many times do you really have so many guests that you need more bedrooms? Most of the time the house would be vacant. Any of these options of storage or guest house, you're right back to the unoccupied house problems. And bullet three, if we just let it sit there and not maintain it, let it degrade, then we're right back to the situation that we came into when we bought the property. That house was really run down. It looked terrible. You can ask anybody in the community that it was a real eyesore, and it was rodent infested. So I don't want to let it go back to that point. I think our proposal keeps us away from those kinds of problems. Tearing down the house, we feel, is not a good way to go. It would provide, it would give a, be a burden on roads and landfill sites. There'd be excessive traffic, just huge and heavy trucks coming back and forth to haul it away and destroy it. We feel there'd be significant cost to us in tearing down a home that really would be suitable for many, many decades. Bottom line, we feel it's a hardship not only on us, but because of the use of the roads and the heavy trucks, a hardship on the county and the city of Colorado Springs as well. I need to talk about water a little bit. When people worked, county and Colorado Springs utilities, people worked on this proposal, a document was found that says we really should only have one family on that property. This document was part of a group water district entity that was created in 1994. It was created to enable people who live right on the north side of Woodman, even though they're not in the city, to get city water and city sewer. And each homeowner had to pay something like $20,000, and they could get city water and city sewer. And this, the owner at the time said yes. So that's where the city water and the city sewer came from. But that document that was created at that time has this provision saying just one family per property. This same document has provisions for getting approval for an exception from the city council. So there is a way for me to go ahead and get approval for the water as well. I had a meeting with Len, the county planner, on this case, as well as two people from Colorado Springs Utilities. We came up with this plan. Step one is get a recommendation from the planning commissioner. So here I am. And step two, get approval of the variance from the Board of County Commissioners. And then step three, go to the City Council and ask for permission to have water for two families instead of one. Relative to water, We're not asking the utilities company to do anything. There's no digging, no construction, no water taps, no water meters. Everything is in place already. Colorado Springs, just utilities will just need to change the pricing from single family to multifamily. Okay, in summary, we didn't cause this problem, but we are willing to put the time and the money, the variance charge was $3,000, into fixing the problem. We think this is a great long-term solution. The variance we seek continues on without the need to renew the variance as long as the home is not left unoccupied for 1 year. Well, we have an incentive to have it occupied, and we have an incentive to make it look good. When somebody wants to come and rent it, we want the outside appearance to look good. We want the inside to look good as well. So we have an appearance, we have an incentive to keep it up, and to keep it occupied. So for all these reasons, we're asking that you approve the variance with the condition that the change in water use is approved by Colorado Springs City Council.
Any questions for
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm just curious, by way of background, when you purchased the home 5-6 years ago, what were your thoughts about having two houses on this piece of property? What were your intentions in terms of the use at that time?
Well, at that time, we did not get a lot of information about the property. It was a bank-owned property, so we definitely were hoping that we would be able to rent out the house, but we didn't get much information on what was really doable.
So that was the intent initially, was to have a primary residence and then a rental property?
We were hoping to rent it.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Mastin.
Just to clarify, you said there's two separate gas meters?
There are.
Two separate gas meters. Two separate electric meters?
Yes.
And are there already two separate water meters?
No.
Or just one water meter?
Just one.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And I can do with that. I'm okay.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You will have an opportunity to come back later if you'd like.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello again. Len Kendall from Planning and Community Development. So this is a request for a variance of use to legalize an additional dwelling in the A5 Agricultural Zoning District. The Land Development Code defines an additional dwelling as a dwelling unit allowed in the A35 district only. That's the agricultural 35-acre minimum, either within or added to an existing single-family detached dwelling or located as a separate accessory structure to the same lot or parcel as the principal single-family dwelling for use as a complete independent living facility with provisions within the dwelling unit for cooking, eating, sanitation, and sleeping. The additional dwelling shall be considered an accessory use to the principal property. This is a look at the site. It's pretty small, but you can see this is the what I call the main dwelling in the staff report. This is the original dwelling. The structure was built in 1958. This structure was built in right around 1996, as Mr. Schaefer has said, and I will go into the background in a little bit. As you can see, this is the city of Colorado Springs right here, and then this is the county land. So we'll start with the background. This property was zoned F, Forest and Recreation, from 1942 to 1979. That zoning district had a minimum lot size of 10,000 square feet. This parcel was created in 1967. Therefore, the fact that it's currently 2 acres means that it would be legally nonconforming because it was 10,000 square feet at the time. Currently zoned A5, which is a 5-acre minimum. As I mentioned, the 2 acres is legally nonconforming based on when it was created. 1992, I will say these were all done by the previous owner of the parcel and the house. So in 1992, an application was brought in to build a garage in the rear part of this property where the main dwelling currently sits. In 1993, the applicants applied for a board of adjustment, or the owners applied for a board of adjustment hearing for a lot size variance, which, as I mentioned, is no longer necessary. Their letter of intent stated the desire to construct a dwelling above the garage to be occupied by the applicant's parents. The board of adjustment never heard the application. It was postponed numerous times until they said, we're going to indefinitely postpone it, and it was never heard. As I mentioned, today's regulations would allow a guest house with special provisions for extended family housing as a special use on this parcel if that were the case today, which is not. In 1996, a zoning complaint file was C96-111. A complaint came in for two residences on the property. A letter was sent to the planning director at the time stating that the intent was to change the main dwelling to the rear property, or to the rear of the property, and to convert the original dwelling to storage and shop space. So after all this, intended that they were going to swap houses. The original house was going to be a shop. They originally asked for a sink and a toilet to remain in the main dwelling. The planning director allowed one sink. So, as I said, the original dwelling was rendered uninhabitable by removing the kitchen and bathroom facilities with the exception of one sink. There's a lot of information on these old files, including pictures of bathtubs smashed and the kitchen removed as well. In 2002, a variance of use was applied for to allow the applicant's daughter to live in the structure due to an illness. The variance was heard and a recommendation for approval was made by the Planning Commission with very specific conditions regarding how long the daughter would be able to live in the house, and a lot of other very specific conditions. Variance of use was withdrawn and not heard before the Board of County Commissioners, so there was no actual decision made on that variance. In 2003, there was another complaint stating that the applicant's daughter had in fact moved into the structure. The director spoke with the owner and allowed to extend the occupancy of the structure for 6 months. After that, the owner was notified that the original dwelling was to be returned to an accessory structure use on or before January 1st, 2004. That time came up and another extension was given to the applicant to apply for a variance of use by the end of that month to legalize the dwelling, as we're doing today. No variance of use application was received and a notice of violation was sent by El Paso County Code Enforcement. After that, additions were applied for and approved to the main dwelling in the rear of the property due to the fact that the original dwelling was designated non-habitable on the plans. In 2008, file ADU, that's additional dwelling unit 0812, depicts the original structure on the property as being converted to a guest house pursuant to the updated code, allowing a guest house in the A5 zoning district with a signed affidavit recorded on file to the clerk and recorder. The affidavit states that the original dwelling may not be leased or rented. Then we have in 2012, the property was purchased by Dan and Mary Jo Schaefer, and now we are here today. Here's a view from the street. You saw a very similar picture in Mr. Schaefer's presentation. As you can see, this one shows the driveway going up to the rear property, which is not visible from the street. Mr. Schaefer mentioned the water. So water service is provided by Colorado Springs Utilities. They have identified that an agreement exists with the subject property that was allotted for one single family residence. If the variance of use request is approved, the applicant will need to seek approval from CSU to supply the water on the additional dwelling. And that would be a condition of approval that I'll get to in a little bit. Here's a zoning map. As you can see, the majority of the area is zoned A5 with the exception of RR 2.5 directly adjacent to the west of the subject property. The subject property is a 2-acre parcel, and it looks like the one to the east is about a similar size. Across the street in the city of Colorado Springs, that is zoned PUD, and the lot sizes of those, I looked at one of them, and they seem to be all roughly around between 9,000 and 10,000 square feet. So it is some pretty high density housing directly adjacent to the property. So here we have the site and analysis. As I mentioned, those are the two properties. And in my staff report, I wrote, the proposed additional dwelling is located at the southern end of the parcel and is aligned with houses on the parcels to the east. The main dwelling unit is located almost 300 feet to the north and is situated between the houses on the adjoining properties to the west, meaning it's not directly next to any of the properties in the west. It's kind of made a little triangle back there. The placement of the structures on the parcel and the integration with surrounding structures does not give the immediate impression that there are two homes on one parcel. The addition of another single-family residence on this property would increase the housing supply located within the county. Although the subject property is zoned A5, which is a 5-acre minimum zoning district, the subject property is also directly adjacent to single-family residential development of the city of Colorado Springs, with lots that are less than 10,000 square feet. The subject property is also adjacent to the RR 2.5 zoning district, which is 2.5 minimum zoning district. I have looked at the policies. The policy plan analysis, goal 13.1 is to encourage an adequate supply of housing types to meet the needs of county residents. 13.1.1 policy is to encourage a sufficient supply and choice of housing at varied price and rent levels throughout land development regulations. 13.1.2, support the provision of land use availability to meet the housing needs of the county residents. Policy 6.13, encourage new development which is contiguous and compatible with the previously developed areas in terms of factors such as density, land use, and access. And then finally, policy 6.1.11, plan and implement land development so that it will be functionally and aesthetically integrated within the context of adjoining properties and uses. I think this property, we see a lot of different densities in a very close area. It doesn't naturally appear that there would be two structures, dwellings on one property based on the street view and the adjacent land uses. We've recommended three conditions of approval. The use of the structure, the original 1958 dwelling, as an additional dwelling will only be allowed if the City of Colorado Springs City Council approves the change in water usage for the subject parcel, meaning that if the City Council denies their application for water, then the original structure would be as it is today, which, according to our records, is a guest house. Second condition would be proof of water allowance must be submitted to El Paso County Planning and Community Development Department within 1 year of approval of the variance of use by the Board of County Commissioners. And then finally, a residential site plan must be submitted and received approval from the Planning and Community Development Department within 30 days of approval of the variance of use by the Board of County Commissioners.
I have a quick question,
yes.
Mr. Kendall. I was trying to follow all the history of this, but the final history was that this second dwelling is approved as a guest house.
Correct. I believe the code changed right about that time in 2008. So it is currently a guest house, which allows for intermittent occupancy by family members or guests for a couple days at a time. And so,
yeah. Okay.
So that does not include the...
I'm familiar with the guest house issue. We've waded through that on at least one occasion.
Yeah.
But it is a guest house now if no action is taken. If this is denied, it would be a guest house.
Correct.
Thank you.
So we notified 9 adjoining property owners. We received 1 response in the mail. That was from the from the property owner, Mr. Schaefer, which I have given to you earlier today. And then one notice was returned in the mail. It did not end up, and that was one of the properties across the street in the city. Are there any questions?
Mr. Risley.
Thank you. I think I know the answer to this, but I'll ask it anyway. Why a variance of use as opposed to some other action, you know, a subdivision or a rezoning into something that would allow this to work and be legal in that regard?
So the additional dwelling unit is only allowed in the A35 zoning district. Rezoning a 2-acre parcel to a 35-acre minimum zoning district, I don't think that would make a lot of sense. It would also allow for many different land uses to be put on that property in the future if the property ownership changed. And then subdivision even further, smaller than already what's half the size of what's allowed there, we didn't think would be applicable. We thought the variance of use would be site specific and allow for this use on this one parcel, and therefore it would only allow for this one thing rather than opening up that whole land use opportunities in our table of uses.
And probably same thing with like a PUD.
I guess they probably could have. I think that's a very, I think that would be way more, it's not strenuous, but a more robust application for the applicants. And this being just the homeowners, we thought the variance would be more appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Maston.
Yeah, a quick question. On a guest house in the county, is there anything that would prevent him from using this as an Airbnb and renting it to people to come in for a couple days at a time?
So with the guest house, if your guest house has a kitchen, you are required to sign an affidavit. It's the second kitchen affidavit stating that you will not lease or rent it. I believe this is the affidavit that was signed by the previous owners in 2008, basically to prevent any renting or leasing of guest houses.
And then a follow-on to that, and I didn't on this home, how many bedrooms are in the home, the 1958 home?
Two.
It's a two-bedroom home.
Two.
And what's a standard, what do we see in the county for when people apply to do a guest house? What does a typical guest house look like in the county? Is it typically like a one-bedroom kind of place, studio apartment type thing, or are they two-bedroom homes that are being built?
Guest house can be any of those. We only generally limit them to size. It would be either the largest it could be would be the square footage of the living area of the home, or 1,500 square feet. So if they want to make three bedrooms, two bedrooms, one bedroom, studio, that would be up to them. They would just need to do the residential site plan with us, and we would look it over.
So the living space of the current home not to exceed 1,500 square feet?
Correct.
And what's the square footage of the 1958 home on this property? I tried looking it up on the county website, but the site is down.
It does... this only, the assessor's website, oh, actually, this is the wrong property, sorry. The 1958 dwelling has a total living area of 1,152 square feet.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? Hearing none, why don't we move to the next phase? We'll open it as a public hearing. Is anyone in the audience like to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to speak in opposition to this request? Hearing none, is there anything that the applicant would like to add at this point in time? All right. Anything the county would like to add? All right. I guess it's in our ballpark. Conversation, comments? Yes, Mr. Reese.
I think it's a very unique situation. I think it's an extremely unique situation. I don't think it's somebody that came in and built a guest house and then is coming in after the fact to ask if they can rent it. It's a home that's been there since 1958. And then the previous owner building the garage, building the unit over top. I just think it's a very unique situation. The reason I bring this up is and if we have follow-on from other property owners that have a guest house that they want to rent out to somebody on a more permanent basis versus being a guest house, I just think that this situation, in my opinion, is different. It's just a unique situation given the age of the home and the history on the property. Just wanted to throw it out there.
Ms. Therese?
I also agree that it's a unique situation. The fact that it doesn't appear to be two houses on the property, I think, is a bonus. I like the idea of this becoming a viable rental property because of need for affordable housing in El Paso County, and especially if the person's a senior or maybe someone in the military services. So for me, I think that this is a unique situation. The fact that the square footage is less than the 1,500 square feet at only 1,152 square feet, therefore I am in favor of this variance.
Ms. Friedman, do you have any comments?
Well, my only thought, I'm just thinking, my thought is if there weren't a new owner, this would look like a pattern that's been going on for 20 years of trying to have two houses on this property since the time the new one was originally built. And so I think that the fact that there is a new owner does make a difference, because it's not the same, it doesn't appear to be the same sort of thing over and over again. Well, we're going to build a guest house, well, we're going to live in it, but oh, I guess we're not supposed to, oh, there's been a complaint. And I just don't know how to consider that, so I'm still thinking.
Thank you. Mr. Creeley, do you have any comments?
Yes, sir. It would seem to me that we have three things to consider for approval. One, that it's there's a sufficient amount of fencing and open space and parking around the structure. That's one. And then the second is that it's compatible with the area. I think it is compatible with the area. And the first, the most important one was that it creates an undue hardship for the current owners. And I think that do nothing, there is a hardship. Whether it's undue or not, I think it is. So all those things together signal my intention to vote for it.
Okay, Mr. Maston?
Just one additional comment. I remember the condition of that home before the new owners had it, and it was, I ride my motorcycle up around that area, and I remember seeing that multiple times going, wow, this, I just want to put the comment out there that the new owners have done a significant amount of work to actually prevent it from being an eyesore, just to make the curbside appeal of that property much better than what it was before they owned it. I just want to add that out there as well, that I think that you've made a positive impact on your community by adding the stucco and the roofing that you did put on the home and cleaning everything up around it.
Thank you. Mr. Wood, do you have any comments?
Not at this time.
Ms. Dillon, do you have any comments?
No.
Mr. Smith, any comments?
No comments.
Mr. Risley?
No comments.
I recall not too long ago dealing with a situation of a guest house on a five-acre lot, and the individual had built the house because he was remodeling his main house. He built the, what he wanted to be a guest house for he and his wife, and then they had some kids in the main house, and they wanted to have the thing declared as a second resident, and it was one that I felt like we shouldn't do because he was essentially up against the letter of the law on everything. He got utilities in, he got separate meters in, he moved the second house at the other side of the lot, everything to make essentially an illegal lot situation to get the county to approve that. And he denied doing that, but it sure seemed suspicious to me, and so I voted against that. I don't see the same thing happening here. And when I look at the photographs of it, this would be, I think, a nice house for the area. You know, it's right next to the city, it's in the county, but everything in the city is in the county anyway. And so I think I would support this. So with each of us having a chance to make comments, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Creeley.
Concerning agenda item number 4, file VA-17-008, a variance of use for the Schaefer second home dwelling. I move for approval in accordance with page 51 of the new standard resolutions with three conditions and three notations. One of those conditions being that the water is, if this is approved, they will have to get the approval from the city of Colorado Springs for the water situation.
Second.
And a second. We have a motion on the floor and a second. Item number 4, VA-17-008, variance of use for the Schaefer second dwelling. Motion is for approval in accordance with new standard page 51 with three conditions and three notations. And water sufficiency if would be provided by Colorado Springs if this would go forward. So with that, we'll have a roll call. Mr. Creeley?
Aye.
Mr. Risley?
Aye.
Mr. Maston?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Wood?
Aye.
Ms. Therese?
Aye.
Ms. Dillon?
Aye.
Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. Your request is unanimously recommended for approval. Thank you very much. And Mr. Wooey, what do we have more?
Craig Dossi, Plan Community Development again. I just wanted to update you. We do plan on having a meeting on February 6th. We set that agenda today. As of right now, we have two items, a Lorson item and then another item. It seems like Lorson's always before you, so just another one in the bundle of sticks. But we do plan on having that meeting. Also to update you, we do have our water plan steering committee meeting, I think next week, right, Joan? At our next meeting, I'll be able to update you on some of the progress that's being made. Quite honestly, I've kind of had to put a little bit of full court pressure on some of the water providers to fill out the survey that we sent out, reminding them that a lot of them have wanted water and land use to be combined into a single plan, which is exactly what we're trying to do, and reminding them that the county does still have their 1041 authorities over most of the improvements that they plan on doing, so it's in their best interest to work with the county to try to get this plan off the ground. So we are still in the data collection process, but I will update you at the next meeting as to kind of where we're at with the steering committee and the direction moving forward. So Any questions for me? Thank you all.
Thank you. And Lynn, congratulations. This is your first one, right? Second. Okay. Good job. Good job. So.
Are we asking for grades for all of them?
Well, this